Rabbi Nachtali Friedler, the Chaim of Rafa, a Shiva many years ago in Washington Heights. Then for many, many years was a Shiva in Toronto. And Saif Yamov, he was Rav here in Muncie in Kaladas Yeshurin. And I had the schus once to ask him to speak in the West Side Kollel in Manhattan. And that year, Labor Day came out very, very late in Elul. And I still remember the Rashiva Zechayin Avracha thundering about Labor Day. He says, where is everyone? He says, Slichus in the mountains. He says, Elul in vacation. He says, what's going to be? So on the way back, I was a Talmud for many, many years ago. I tried to be a Talmud. And on the way back, we were driving to Muncie. And I said, B'mechilus kvayd the Rosh Hashiva, I said, I have a different take on it. So he looked at me with a special gleam in his eyes. He had a very, very special look to him. He says, Nu Shaya, Vazot Yer. So I told him, I think Labor Day is a wonderful thing. He said, why? He said, because it wouldn't be for Labor Day, maybe we'd never come back. So at least with Labor Day, he says, you know they're going to come back, right? It may be later than you want, earlier than you want. They said, but Baruch Hashem, this year, Labor Day cooperated. And it's a wonderful thing when people take time off. They have finally a little bit of final vacation. Some people don't have so much vacation this summer. This is a final break. And it's a wonderful thing when a tzibur wants to get together for a little bit of iris, for a shiur, talk and learning. And I think it's a big schus, and I'm sure it makes an achas ruach lamaila where it really counts. There is a gemara in Bava Basra. Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Yud asks the following stira in Sukkim, and wants to know about Tzedakah Tatzil Mimavis. All the way in the bottom of Amud Aleph, it says, Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Yechon and Rami, Ksiv La Yail Hoin B'yayim Evra U Tzedakah Tatzil Mimavis. Ksiv another pasuk, Lo Yailu Eitzerais Rasha U Tzedakah Tatzil Mimavis. Shtei Tzedakah is Halalu Lama. So what do you need to mention that Tzedakah has the kayach to save a person from death? What does it have to be mentioned for? It says, Misa Meshuna, Midinai Shel Gehenna. Okay, and then the Gemara says, how do you know which pasuk is referring to what? So the Gemara brings from the Lashon HaPasuk. So he says, but there's two things that Tzedakah can affect. It can be a Hatzalah from a Misa Meshuna. That means if someone's supposed to have a gruesome death, so it saves him and has just a regular Misa, right? I believe the Gemara in Bracha says, there are 318 different forms of death. So he says some are easier on a person and some are much, much more painful. So he says it can save a person mimisa mishuna. It can also, in the next world, he says it can save him from a from the dina shal gehenna. There's a Gemara which the Mashah in one of the places makes reference that seems to be a little bit of a kasha, certainly a supplement to this Gemara. And it says as follows. It's all the way at the end of Masechta Shabbos, on Daf Kufnun Vav Amid Beis. And there the Gemara is talking about the concept whether Yisrael has mazel or not. Ein mazel Yisrael, which means there is such a thing as there are such things as mazalas. There are things that the way the world is set up, that there's a teva to it. And the question is, are Yidden bound by that teva or ein lehem mazel? So the Gemara brings two stories. One of them I think is extremely famous, the other one not so much. I'd like to just read through this Gemara, and I think it's a very, very powerful message over here that Chazal share with us. He says, "Umid Shmuel nami ein mazel Yisrael." He says, from the story with Shmuel, he says there's also a raya that ein mazel Yisrael, that we're not limited by the mazalos. The Shmuel va'avle. Shmuel was together with Avle, Havayasve, they were sitting together. Rashi says that Avle was a name of a Chacham Nachri, the Chayzer Bekechadim. Apparently he was a friend of Shmuel, and they were sitting together. He was a Chacham, and he was also a stargazer. Okay, they were sitting together. Vahabuka Azle Hanif Inshi La'agma. And he said a bunch of people, workers, were going to the swamp to cut reeds. That's what they did. That was their profession. Amale Avle L'Shmuel, Hai Gavra Azil V'loy Osi. He says, you see that fellow going down to the swamp? He's going to go, but he's not going to return. Tarek lechivya umayas. He's going to be bitten by a snake, poisonous snake, obviously, and that's going to be his end. He's going to die. So that was his prediction. Because he was like flexing his haris silk muscles, right? He was making such a prediction. Amalei Shmuel ibar Yisrael hu ozel va'asi. He says if he's a yid, not so clear. He may make it back. Ad the yasvi, so they considered sitting there. Ozel va'asi. Lo and behold, who shows up? The person that Avlei predicted would die. So come Avlei, shadye letunei. He threw down his basket of reeds. Ashkach bei chivya de posik. Vishadi betarti gubi. He says he found in his basket of reeds a snake that had been cut in half, and unbeknownst to this worker, he had killed his assassin. Right? While he was cutting the reeds, he had killed his assassin. There was a raider, and he killed him. Amalei Shmuel, so Shmuel was right. He's a Bar Yisrael, so your prediction didn't have to be true. But Shmuel knew, and you see that, you'll see from the next Gemara also. These are not the horoscopes that we don't read in the newspapers, but that are in the newspapers that are useless. He says these were people who actually understood the chachma of the kechavim, and they could make predictions. So even Shmuel was impressed by the fact that this yid had made it home. Amale Shmuel, Maya Vadit. He said, "What did you do? You must have done something between then and now that was a tremendous chus that you survived." Amalei, so the worker responded, "Kol yoma have marminon rifta bahadi hadadi." I guess you call it like a potluck lunch. Everyone contributes into the pot a little piece, a piece of bread, and then we share. Vachlinon, and then we eat together. But idna have ika chad minon. The lehabale rifta. One of the chevra didn't bring bread today. Havi kamichsef, and I saw he was embarrassed by the fact that he forgot the bread to share. So amina luhu. So I said to them, to my other colleagues, anaka imna varim. I'll make the trek and collect from everyone. Kimatoi legabei shavya nafshoi kamanda shakili minei. So he said, when I got to this guy, I pretended that he contributed also kiheke deloy lichsef in order that he shouldn't be embarrassed. So Shmuel said, okay, this is a maisa. Amalei mitzvah avadit. You've done a mitzvah. I always wondered, I said, maybe this is the makar, right? We say we in our everyday language, we talk about doing mitzvahs. You don't really do mitzvahs, right? You're makayim a mitzvah, right? You fulfill a commandment. This could be that this is a makar, the idea mitzvah avadit. You did a mitzvah. That's maybe became part of our vernacular. Nafak Shmuel v'darish. Utsadaka tatzel mimavis, that pasuk again that the Gemara and Baba Basra quoted as either being having the kayat bimatzel mimisa mishuno mi dina shel gehenim, and nafak Shmuel b'darish, but he went out and he says, I have a new understanding. Utsadaka tatzel mimavis v'loy mimisa mishuno. Not just it can help a person save him from a gruesome death, ella mimisa atzma, can save a person literally, truta kemashmoy, he says, from death, and give him chias. That's one story. The next story is more famous. Umid Rabbi Akiva Nami, from a story about with Rabbi Akiva, a mazel Yisrael. The Rabbi Akiva havile barta. Rabbi Akiva had a daughter. Omri le kaldoi. And Rashi tells the kaldoim were also stargazers, and they predicted the future. He says, and they told Rabbi Akiva, hu yayma da aila lebei ganana tarek lechivya umesa. He says, when your daughter goes to get married, the day of her chasna, she says she's going to be bitten by a snake and she's going to die. Now, what if you don't know this Gemara, what would your reaction be if you went to, if you can imagine if someone came over, Baruch Hashem, I just finished my daughter's Sheva Brachas, right? Can you imagine if someone would have come over to me and made such a prediction, I could go to Rabbi Akiva, what would I expect Rabbi Akiva to say? Ah, ignore it, he says, ridiculous, right? But the Gemara doesn't say this, he says, have a di'iga amnusa tuva. Rabbi Akiva was very, very worried. He was very concerned. He wasn't a little worried. He says that he was daik tuva, very, very concerned about this. Hahu yaima shakalta, right? Lichbasa detasa beguda. She took a piece of jewelry. She stuck it in the wall after the chasna. It's rame aisa be'enei dechivya, and it pierced right between the eyes of the snake. Once again, there was an assassin, right, who was right there, perched, ready to pounce, and she killed it. In the morning when she pulled out the piece of jewelry, so she drew the snake out and she realized what had happened. She must have told her father. So again, Amalo Avua, Mayavada, just like Shmuel wanted to know what the person had done by the swamp, he told his daughter, he says, you must have done something very recently to have been his chus. So Amrole, Bepanya, in the evening, Asa Anya Kara Abava. He said there was an Ani that was knocking, was calling from the doorway. Vavi Tarida Kule Alma Bisudasa. He said it was the Chasna Suda. Everyone was very busy. And they didn't stop ignore him. They didn't notice him. Veleka the Shame, and no one noticed. So maybe she was facing perhaps in the other direction. So he says, Kaimna Shakalti Luristanoi Yahavis Li and Yahavse Nihila. He says, I took the portion that was given to me and I gave it to him. Amalah, again that same lashon, mitzvah avadah. Nafik Rabbi Akiva, he also went out with darash, utzdaka, tatzel, mimabes, loy mi misa mishuna, elo mi misa atzma. He says, and apparently, even though the Gemara in Bava Basra doesn't make mention of this, but, and this was already a Tana, Rabbi Akiva, who said this, apparently this is a chiddush nifla, that there could be mi misa mishuna. What was it about these two acts that were so special that they understood that this was the special chus? And it's interesting, right? The prediction were made encompassing up until that point. So therefore, in both stories, Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva asked the people who had been the potential victim, what did you do now? There had to have been something that you did very, very recently to be able to be mahapech, he says, like a chiyav misa to a salvation. Libi Aymali, that if you look at these two stories, there's a wonderful, wonderful tzad hashava that you can take out of them. In both stories, what could have easily been the reaction of the people who did the chesed? I think in both cases, it would have been very easy for both people to ignore what was done. Right? They didn't have to do anything. Right? The story with the worker, I think a lot of people would have said, listen, maybe it wasn't the first time, maybe that's why he was particularly embarrassed. He says, but either way, anyway, first time, second time, he says, listen, it's not my problem. You know what? He'll be embarrassed. And guess what? Next time he'll bring the lunch and he'll contribute like everyone else. Let him learn a lesson. Right? It certainly wasn't incumbent upon this person to do anything more than anyone else. He says, right? He said, listen, he should have brought his lunch. He's embarrassed. He should be embarrassed. Rabbi Akiva's daughter, she was the kala, right? She was the star of the show. It was her job to make sure that the ani was taken care of. So there were parents for that. There were probably attendants. There was probably a big chasna. Why did she have to get involved? Right? She's the star of the show. She doesn't have to do anything. In both cases, they went, I would say, lefnim rishuras hadin, and in both cases, to save a person from embarrassment. And I think that's the tzad hashava in these two stories. They were both acts ben adam lechavero, and they were both acts that a person could have ignored and said, you know what, it's not my responsibility. Certainly among, I think there are many hisayrus within these stories that a person has to realize one never knows, right? There can be certain things that are supposed to happen. And let's say the person would have said, you know what, I'm not helping the person this time. He should have brought the lunch. Rabbi Akiva's daughter could have said, you know what, I'm sure in a few minutes someone will take care of the ani. He's not going to starve. He said, but how can I leave my station over here, the collar and my gas, and go take care? Wouldn't have been, I don't think, a tremendous taina. But lamaisa, they saved their own lives. It was atzalos nafshom. He said they actually did a maisa, was a schus. So certainly a very important iris that I took out of this Gemara was that one never knows. When you push yourself, particularly bein adam lechaveira, and maybe especially when there's a netiyah, there's an inclination to say, you know what, not my problem. Someone else will take care of it. They should have taken care of it. And still you push yourself, and in particular in these stories where maybe they saved them from embarrassment, so you can't know. He says the schus is an unbelievable schus. The koyach of maisim, it's hard to know the cheshbainus in shemayim, and halavai that when we go through life, and this doesn't really have to do with the din, this was something of Rosh Hashanah necessary, but this was something that was locked into place, and still we never know, utzadaka tatzil mimavis, right? We talk about sometimes it should be removed, the raya ha'gzera, the the bad aspect of the gzera. That kataka maybe only means kipshutai from the misa meshuna, but over here the Gemara is machadish to us that it can even mean misa atzman. A person can mamish go from misa to chayim just on a very, very simple act that would have been easy to ignore. There's another Gemara, which I think also is a parallel to that, except I didn't bring it. A Gemara in Avodah Zarah. I will get it myself, I don't know the setup here. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us a story about Rabbi Yossi ben Dosa, I think it was ill. And Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan went to be Mevaka Chayla. Thank you very much. Said he went to be Mevaka Chayla. And Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan, as there is a famous Gemara, was also putting his life on the line. Tana Rabbanan, Kishachala, Dagmar and Yudches, Kishachala Rabbi Yossi, not Ben Dais, but Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma, Halach Rabbi Hanina Ben Trajan Levakre. So Rabbi Hanina Ben Trajan went to be Mavaka Chayla. Amaloi, Hanina Achi, Iati Yedea Shu'uma Zu Mina Shamayim Him Lifua, referring to the Romans, Shech Riva as Besai, Vesarifa as Hechaloi, Vaharga as Chasida, Vaavda as Tuvav, Vadayan Hikayemis. In other words, this is their time. The Midas Hadin is being shailit on the Yidden, and Rome is now in charge. And he says, and they've been given Midas Hadin and Mesucha, he says they've been given full range. Vani shamati olecha sha'ata yoshev v'oisek b'teira u'makil kihilois berabim v'sefer teira munach l'cha b'chekecha. And you're holding on the sefer teira and giving public shiurim. Basically, he's telling me, he says, what are you doing? You're going to get yourself killed. Amaloi, so Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan answered, Min Hashemayim Yerachamu. He says, from Shemayim there'll be compassion, I'll be okay. Amaloi, Ani Aymer Lecha Devarim Shel Tam, Ve'ata Aymeli Min Hashemayim Yerachamu, Tama Ani Imloi Yisrufu Aischa Ve'asefer Teiru Ba'esh. He said, it would be a wonder to me if they don't burn you together with the Sefer Torah that you're holding. As we know, the Gemara says afterwards, we won't really read it inside, it's Kachava, right? One of the Asara Ruge Malchus. Conversation shifts a little bit. Amaloi Rebbe, Ma'ani L'chayel Amaba. So Rabbi Hanina asked Rabbi Yossi, he says, what's my future? Especially he's predicting that his demise is going to come soon. He says, what type of future do I have? Ma'ani L'chayel Ha'el Amaba. Amaloi klum maisa bal yadcha. He said, can you give me some illustration of your actions, of your deeds? So amaloi ma'ay shal purim nischalfuli b'may shal tzedakah. He said, I had purim geld. He said, some of the money that was supposed to different shatim, but let's say for the suda and the money for the aniyim, v'hichlachtim. He says, I distributed l'aniyim. I gave everything away to the aniyim, even though certainly some of it wasn't designated for the aniyim, but I went lefnim mishur sadin, I gave the whole thing to the aniyim. Amaloi imkein mechelkecha yehelchelki. He says, your portion, halavai, I should have a portion like your portion, megarocha yehei gairol. Okay, and then taka the maisa happened, so to speak, ironically, right, when Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma died and the Romans acknowledged his death and they went to the Levi, they chapa rechanina on the way home saying public shirim, and he was one of the Asara Eruge Malchus. So there's a question that is brought up by the Mefarshim. How in the world could Rabbi Yossi ben Kisna ask him klum maisa bal yadcha? Even if he disagreed with his choice of saying public shiurim, but it certainly was an indication of what type of a person we were dealing with, right? Even the person was maisa nefesh v'taira. So he had a machlokes. He held he shouldn't do it. He held it was okay, fine. But he certainly saw that this was a person who was prepared to be maisa nefesh for Yiddishkeit l'Hashem u'l'tairasai. So what did he ask him? And did klum maisa? Can you tell me something? And what did he tell him already? He said, "Tell my maisa on Purim with the money. What's going on?" So if you there's a famous Pirish Mishnayis from the Rambam. Some people sometimes think this is a Mishnah in Avos. It's not a Mishnah in Avos. It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Makkos. And that is, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lazakis Es Yisrael, Lefikach Hirba Lehem Teira Mitzvos, right? Shenem Hashem Chofetz Man Sidgah Yagdil Teira V'Yadya. So if you look in the Rambam Perish Mishnaya says, Me'ikre ha'muna b'tayra, ki kishiyakayim adam mitzvah, mitaryag mitzvahs, kara'oi u'kahayger. If a person goes ahead and he keeps one of the taryag mitzvahs the way it's supposed to be done, v'lo yishatef ima b'kavonim mikavonis ha'olam, and he doesn't have any ulterior motives that a person might have, b'shum panim, in any way, it's pure. What we call l'shma, right? El sheyasa oisa l'shma me'ava. So, hine zacha ba l'chaye ha'olam haba. That, through that mitzvah, he's zaycha to olam haba. Va'al zeh amar Rabbi Chanina, Chanani has the gesa, ki ha'mitzvah is here, Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha, right? Ki ha'mitzvah is b'yoysem harbei, I efshar shalayasa adam b'chayev, achas mehem, al maskainto shalay musa. He says, there's so many mitzvahs, you have to do one of them perfectly. U'ba'asoysa oysa ha'mitzvah, tichye nafshay ba'oysa maysa, and that's going to be his ticket, we'll call it, into Olam Haba. That's going to give him the Chaye Olam Haba. Umimasha Yeira al Ha'ika Hazeh, Masha Shol, Rabbi Chananya ben Shiradyan, Ma'ani l'Chaye Olam Haba. So the Rambam of Ian Pirish Mishnayis quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah when Rabbi Chananya ben Shiradyan asked, Ma'ani l'Chaye Olam Haba, Heishivai Hameshiv, Rabbi Yossi, Klumba Maisa Yadcha, Kloiman is Dami l'Cha Lasa is Mitzvah Kahoygen, Yeshiva ikin is damli mitzvah tzedaka al derech shleimish kachol masha efshe. V'zacha l'chayei ha'olam haba. So the Rambam here in Pirish Mishnayis teaches up that Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and he says that mitzvah was the indication that it was done b'shleimish. Why? So Mefarshim explained this in the following manner. He says, b'makal kehillis b'rabim, being maisa nefesh v'tayra is incredible. But it was Makil Kehillus Verabim. And even though we're talking about a Tana was also a human being. And therefore, it could have been that even though an overwhelming amount of his motivation was L'Shem Shemayim, but you're standing Verabim, you're saying a Shia, there's a little bit that might be pushing the person that L'maisa, people are watching and they know what I'm doing. And therefore, that takes away a Mashahu from the shleimus, from it being totally, totally lishma. So he says, give me a maisa, klum maisa bel, give me anything without anyone knowing about it where you had no sight of negiyas. And again, befrat, it was something to do with mamonis, where people normally will look to be myra heta, and here there was heta because he didn't have to give everything to the aniyim, because some of it certainly belonged to him. So he said, that indicates what type of a person. He says, then, halavai, my chelik should be like your chelik, because I see what type of person, so then maybe even other things that you're doing, ataka, the total of the shame shemayim. Then, yehei chelki kechelkecha v'garoli kegarolcha. But until you're able to identify a maisa that's pure, is no guarantee. But says the Rambam, this tayyad mitzvah, the Kodesh Baruch Hu benched us with tayyad mitzvahs, so everyone's able to find a way. There's a Gemara at the end also, a little, not quite so far, and towards the end of Shabbos, though, that says a whole bunch of Amorayim, Tanayim, Amorayim, that said, Tasili, I'm going to be paid tzchak for this mitzvah, for that mitzvah. And also, the Mefarshim want to know, and the other, they're not going to get tzchak for the other mitzvahs, but here was a mitzvah they did, betachlis hashleimah. So if a person does something, betachlis hashleimah, he's not doing it for ulterior motives. He's not doing that people should call him a tzaddik. He's not doing that people should give him kavod. So then, that's the ticket to Olam Haba. I remember the Mashkiach Zechayim Levracha, Rav Olbe used to say, we are capable, people, a human being is a complex creation. He says, a person is capable of doing a maisa, b'chadrei chadorim, and still being influenced by what people will think. And I remember still the illustration he gave. He says, a person is stuck someplace, he can't make it to shul. So he davens, he says he can't get away, it was on his Isaac ben mitzvah, he can't get away, so he's davening mincha, it's almost shkia, so he's gonna daven b'yechidus. So he goes to the wall, he prepares himself, and he davens a Shemana Esrei, mamish is with gevalda kavana like it's Yom HaNarayim. And as he steps back, he says, the person thinks, Chaval, no one was here to see this Shemana Esrei. No one was observed. So he says, so even when we're alone, b'chadrei chadarim, he says, we risk that potentially, he says, that we're still doing, right, in the Olam HaDimyon, right? He says, we're still thinking, that maybe, you know what, could you imagine if someone would have thought of it? So even when there's no one around to give it the kavod, kavod amadumah, he says, we could still use that sometimes as a motivation. But the kayach ha-maisim is such that a single maisa can be that opening, can be the shlissel that unlocks the way to olam haba. There's a story that's handed down in my family. I have so many stories about him, about my grandfather, Rav Yeshaya. He came, he was a Rav in Harlem, in the Lumis Forum in the 20s. So it's almost 90 years ago. So before you're going to say, never, right, a Rav in Harlem, right, what type of killer, he had the shul had 2,200 seats approximately filled on a regular Shabbos. Harlem, when there used to be traffic going down the east side, my father's Chani Bracha used to take the streets, and he would go through Harlem, and he'd say, okay, here was a shtibel, here was a mikveh, here was the butcher, that was Harlem in those days, he says, was a L'shem L'Tiferes, it was a big Yiddish neighbor. So he said, he had an operation. And those days they didn't have antibiotics, they didn't have penicillin yet, and they didn't know what to do. And he had a post-operative infection, and the situation deteriorated, and he was mamash on his deathbed, he was dying. So he called in his oldest child, my aunt, Aleha Shalom, and he said, on this shelf, on the top of my shelves, he says, there's a notebook. He says, I want that to be buried with me. And he said, that's my ticket. Okay? What was in there? Back in the old country, which was London, England, where my family was for several generations, he was a Mayo. And he used to go perform milas in the slums, by the docks. He says if he heard, even in the mothers were far from Orthodox women, he said he would go and he would perform bris. When he came to him, and he kept like a male was supposed to, he kept a record of every child that he gave a bris to. Okay, so why is that a ticket? So there's a postscript. I happen to have the kalim of the mila, right? I happen to, they ended up in my possession. So I've actually seen them. In America, they came over on the boat. He never performed a mila in the United States. And so I don't know if any of you, usually a Amoyal likes to do brisim, right? Some of them, as a matter of fact, are quite aggressive about it. They like to perform brisim. He wouldn't do a bris in America. He was a Rav, a Talmid Chacham. He couldn't, and there was a big kehillah he couldn't get. He found out that in his shul, the Shamus used to be the Amoyal for the Tzibur, and he used to make panasa from it. So he said, and my grandfather would never take money. Matter of fact, I have a copy of a letter he sent to someone returning money that someone had given one of his children for blowing shofar. He says, in our family, he says, we follow the dictum. He says, we don't take money for performing mitzvahs. So therefore, he says, he would never take money for performing a bris. So he reasoned to himself, he says, I'm the Rav. He says, I don't take money, so why would anyone do a mila from here on in by the shamash of the shul? So he says, so he retired. He refused to do a bris in America, because it would get in his way. So when I came across, I knew this story, when I came across, I don't want to lulu the mistafina that I should be able to speculate what my grandfather's Chani Bracha, what his kavana was, but lulu the mistafina, I would say maybe it's al derech zeh, that it was the idea that this was the fact that he was a mile. That's what I heard, he was an expert mile, but he wouldn't perform because it would get in the way of someone else's panasa. So that was an indication that the milas that he had done previously were pure, and that, he says, was his ticket. One might wonder, so Rabbeinu Shalom needs reminders, right? So Rabbeinu Shalom knows the mitzvahs, right? He doesn't need a recording to go into the kever. So I heard over, just a couple of years ago, there was someone visiting, I don't recall his name, and said there was a woman, a Holocaust survivor, and there was a certain pasuk, I don't remember the pasuk either, that she used to repeat to herself over and over again in the death camps. And that gave her chizuk. And that was like her motto. She took that pasuk. So she said, she left word that she would like to be buried. They should write down this pasuk and it should be buried with her. So the Chevra Kadisha went to Chaim Kanievsky, shlita, and they asked him. He says, "We're allowed to do that. We're allowed to write it down, just like a shigoli ibud, like we're gonna write it." So with the pasuk, maybe with the shem Hashem, I don't recall. And he said, "We're gonna put it then. Are we allowed to do it?" He said, "You could." He says, "But tell her the Ribbono Shel knows the pasuk. If she was still alive, but she had informed them of her wishes." He said, "But tell her." He says, "You could do it. Tell her if she wants it. Well, you could do it for her. But tell her it's not necessary, since Ribbono Shel knows the pasuk." So the representatives, the Chevra, said, "Okay, we accept the Psak." He said, "But can we ask the Rabbi?" He said, "What about," and he gave a few examples of Gedolei Yisrael who had also requested that things be buried with them. One that I remember that they asked him, he says, the Chazon Yecheskel from Rabbi Chaskel Abramsky, Zecheinu Levracha, right? He asked that the Chazon Yecheskel, right, his major work on the Tesefta should be buried with him. And the other examples, Gedolim asked that the Svarim should be buried with him. So he said, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't know the Chazon Yecheskel. So Reb Chaim told them, he said, they did it, it's different. He said, they did it to teach us a lesson. He says that when you go, you got to take stuff with you, right? You have to be able to accomplish, right? There's the famous story. It's not a real story, it's a fake story, but it's a real story. He said, Itzel Petterberger was an old man. He was invited, he came to Slobodka, and they were machabed him to say avad. So Itzler, right, was from the three great Talmidim of Yisrael Salanta. So I think the way it was said about, that he said it about the Netziv. He said, "Could you imagine," he says, "the Netziv, at a certain point after he got married, there was a question that he should have an opportunity for panasa, he should open up a flour mill. Have panasa. And they were young, we'd give him an opportunity for panasa, he'd still be able to learn, and he decided, no, he's only going to be learning." So Itzela said, Kemen Farshtel, he says, "Think what would happen." So he says, the Netziv would have been an Erlech Yid, he would have gotten up every morning early to learn, Davin Kavasikin, he would have, and then he would have spent the day in the mill, and the trains would have come, and he would have sent the flour to different destinations, and everything would have been good. He would have made panasa, give tzedakah, and make sure his children had malamdim. And he said it would have been a fine life. He said he would have come after his days were over in this world. He would have come to Shemayim, and they would have brought him into the Bezin Shemayla. And the first thing he says, "Why did you kill the Gadol Hadar?" So he would look around and says, "I thought they do one at a time. Who else is in here? I don't see the spotlight." He says, "Why did you kill the Gadol Hadar?" "I killed the Gadol Hadar. I never even give my kids a patch." He says, I couldn't stand anything. I never did anything." So all of a sudden they start showing, right? Here's the yeshiva of Volozhin. All the shiurim, the potential shiurim that could have been said, right? Here's the Netziv Al HaTorah. Here's the Hamek Sheila. Here's the Hamek Dava. He says all this. He said, "You destroyed all this." He says, "You killed the Gadol Hadar." So he said, "He didn't." I said, "It's a made-up story." But Ritzel said that sometimes we do things, we don't know the ramifications of the kayach of Amaisam. Sometimes we make a decision, who knows, he says, how far-reaching those decisions are. And it's the other way around. He decided not to go into the flour mill business, and therefore he didn't kill the Gadol Hadar. He became the Gadol Hadar. He was maimed all those hundreds and thousands, and then from Volozhin it went out to all the other yeshivas, right? And the schusim are still building up. So we never know exactly what are the kayach of our maisim. And that's something to keep in mind. So to come back, he says, Reb Chaim said, the people who did, the Gedolim who said they were leaving us a message, he said, "Listen, look, you have to take stuff with you." He said, "This woman is doing it for herself." He said, "Tell her the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't remind her." So I, when I heard that, I realized, here it was. Obviously, I never met my grandfather, right? But the story was passed down. And if he wouldn't have said that, so we wouldn't be talking about this type of a maisa today. But it's an opportunity to think that when we do a maisa, if we do a maisa like the Gemara in Shabbos says, we do something that we don't have to do. And maybe we're even tempted to say, you know something, maybe we shouldn't do it because, you know, Kumtem, he says, he should have brought the lunch. He should have participated like a mensch, right? He says, the ani, someone will take care of the ani. But instead, we extend ourselves, and especially if we can alleviate the possible embarrassment, public embarrassment, for sure. He says, of another yid, he says, the kayach, he says, it's a kayach mamish, he says, it's tzedakah tatzami mavis, that he says, it can save a person. Certainly in the days of Elul, I think it's a good hisayrus. I don't know how many people here are learning chulin, but I came across a gemara. I'm also struggling through the Daf Yomi. I have a sort of a saying. He said, someone asked, he says, how do you say the Shia over here? He needed to say a Shia. I said, we'll learn the Gemara together. I said, your job is to say Gemara Rashi, say it well. And I said, then all other questions, you tell them to please call Rabbi Belsky. He says, right, because he says, if you're not a Shaykhid, he says, we're not exposed to this. He said, we don't know the anatomy, we don't know all the details. I said, when we're learning, so he says, that's what we have to do right now. If you can understand more, great. He says, but don't, he says, don't make yourself crazy that you're going to give up. But there was a Gemara that struck me, and I came back to a few times, that even with all the interesting Gemaras, this one struck me very much. He says, there's a Gemara in Chulin, the Mishnah says, Ve'elu k'sheiris ba'if. And one of the things mentioned over here in the Mishnah is that if there was an injury to the bird, Yatsu b'nei me'eha. He says, V'loi nikvu. He says, if there was some sort of an injury and he says the stomach, the intestines came out, he says, as long as they weren't punctured, so it says it's still kosher. Okay. The Gemara comments on this and says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak lo shanu ela shlo hipach behem avo hipach behem treifa d'ksiv hu asecha v'yechayne neka melamed shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaini niyais ba'adam shem nehepach achas mehem eina yachal lichya. So it's interesting, the Gemara brings a raya from Adam to the oif. But what does it say? It says intestines, the kishkas coming out of the animal, he said, doesn't make it into a treifa. But if you start, when you put it back, you don't put it back exactly in the right order, then it becomes a trefer. And the Gemara then brings down a Gemara a few lines later. Harhu arma, the chazir la hu gavra, the nafal may igra la ara. He says someone, it was a question of the gears, he was a Roman or Armenian, but it seems he was a guy. He saw someone fall from a roof onto the ground and paka karse, and his stomach opened up, the nafik mayani, and he says his kishkis came out. So, didn't know what to do. So this person had an eitzah. Said, "Aisa lebrei b'shachta kamei ba'achiza seinayim." So somehow he orchestrated an optical illusion, achiza seinayim, and he made as if he had brought the victim's own child before him and killed him. Right? He says, "Aisa lebrei b'shachta kamei," as if he had brought this victim who was lying there on the ground, as if he had brought his son and killed him. But it was an optical illusion. But the person didn't know that. He says, Inge v'isnach. He says, he took like a gasp. And he says, Ola mayane. And he says, so his innards were drawn back inside of his guf. And at that time he says, v'chayte l'karis. And then he was able to stitch him up. So the Mefarshim say, Taki says, if it goes back in naturally, then it's not a trefa. So, there's a lot of interesting Gemaras and Elu Treifas, but this one, there was something about it that kept on pulling me back to it. And I thought that maybe there's a Hisayris over here. He says, sometimes we wonder, how are you good? So it's Elu. And like I said, it's a wonderful thing that you decide to get together on a day off from work and have some Divrei Torah together as a Chabura. He said, but sometimes then we're back into the work week and we're back into everything. And next thing we know, we hear the Shaifer in the morning. We say L'David twice a day. Next thing we know, the Slichas. Then we're getting up early. And then it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And sometimes we wonder, so what are we supposed to do about it? And it's hard. We are, most people I know are extremely, extremely tired. In business and everything. We're traveling. It's hard. And sometimes you have a feeling in Elul, he says, okay, so it's Elul. And I'm preparing, he says, but what am I really going to accomplish? He says, how am I going to make any changes? He says, I'm just going to come back. He says, it's not real. Rav Hutna is quoted as saying, he says, Kfira bizman hazeh, which is already 25 years ago since Rav Hutna was nifta, but I think it's still true today. He says, Kfira bizman hazeh, he says, is in Bechira. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Bechira v'charta is a mitzvah saseh. He says, people are kaifer b'chira. They don't think we really have choice. He says, we are what we are. This is the way I am. I thought I had an Hisayris from this Gemara. He says, Taka, he says, it's hard. He says, but the kayach to be masakin yourself, he says, is within each one of us. He said, and what was it? What was this guy's eitzah? He showed him the future. He showed him as if his son, which is the person's future, his children, he says, if he had been lost. So he said, when he saw that, he gasped. And he drew within himself, and he was masakin himself that he could be stitched up, and he could be taken care of, he could be healthy again. I was thinking, he says, the kayach of Meissen, we never know. I'm not going to take the time now, pretty much, I think, at the limit. He says, but there's a Nefesh Chaim, there's a Ruach Chaim from Chaim Volozhin in a couple of places. We're also on the Shiva de Nechemta, and he says, you should know, he says, the Gemara in Gittin, he says, it says how Titus came into the Kodesh Kedoshim with a Zayna, and he took out a Torah, and he put it on there, and he did an Aveira over there. Zagru Chaim Volozhin, he said, had no effect in Shemayim. In Shemayim, it was like, you know, bounced off. They didn't even deal with it. For us, the terrible bazillion of the Beis HaMikdash, Kodesh Kodashim, he says, sends a chill through you. He said, but says Rechaim Vladimir, you should know, it had absolutely no effect. Why? It was a mice of a guy. A guy's actions don't have an effect in the upper spheres. He says, it comes from the Yidden. He says, but if a Yid has a machshava that he shouldn't have in his heart, he says, the heart corresponds to Kodesh Kodashim, that's bringing a Zayna into the Kodesh Kodashim. He says, but Titus, was ignored. It made no tumult in Shemayim. He said, but when a Yid does something he's not supposed to do, that makes a tumult. And that's what's obviously energized, like Gemara says, right? He says, what Titus did, he says, the Beis HaMikdash was really destroyed already. You just need someone to blow down the walls. He says, the Yidden destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Titus didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He said, and the other way around, he says, the kayak that we can put into the world with our meisim, and we shouldn't think, our meisim, what are they going to accomplish? Our meisim can accomplish a lot. He said, a person could be a worker going to a regular day at the office in the swamp. Some people feel that they work in a swamp. Right? He said, going down to the swamp, and instead of just ignoring their co-worker, they do something to alleviate their embarrassment, they could have saved their lives right there. He says, the mamash was hatzolus nefesh, and their own nefesh. A kala could be doing something, it's my night. He says, let someone else worry about the ani. And you took a moment out of your own special occasion and you daiged about someone else, it's a schus, it's tzedakah tatmi mavas, loy mi misa mashunah, ava mi misa atma. Let us take, as we head into the Yom HaNaraim, let us realize the kayach ha-maisen, what we're able to do, we don't give ourselves enough credit, maybe because we don't want the responsibility, but it's the atas hayetzah. Anytime we make a decision and we make the v'charta v'chaim and we make the right decision, he says it produces a tremendous hashpah in the Shemayim, it produces on all of us. I'll just be messiahing with one thought that I've shared with others. In Rosh Hashanah it says, a way to be zaycha. This was Rabbi Yisrael Salanta's, I would call it his patent. His Eitzah, he says, is like it says, Lamancha Lekim Chaim. He says, you have to be doing for the Rebbeinu Shalom. So not everyone has the ability to be involved in who knows what, to be able to be a member of this, of a board, or a tzedakah. Some people, you know, charity starts at home, which is the most important, and they don't have a chance to apply yourself, okay? Chelik apply Yisrael at home. How do you do it? I'll tell you, Tfilah is the Lashon Rabbim. Right, the Shemana Esrei, the Bakashas of Tefillah. Daven for yourself. But when you're davening for yourself, he says, look around. I'll tell you, you don't have to know people's names and their mother's names, but you could say, you know what, I'm looking for a shidduch for my children. He says, I have neighbors. So I say, Bas l'mishpachas pleini, right? Sometimes there's even Bonois, right? Bonois mishpachas pleini, right? I need panasa. Rabbi Hashem, help me with my panasa. And I said, I know I have a neighbor who's losing a job, right? He said, he needs panasa, right? He says, I need the good health, right? I have someone in my family who needs a refuah. He says, and I know about someone else. And if we're kailul others in our tefillah, we're davening anyway, Rabbi Say, right? We're there anyway. We're coming to Shul Baruch Hashem three times a day. If we take that extra minute and spread our net a little wider, right? And it doesn't take much time. Just to be mazkir, other mishpachas, other people that you're aware of, that they're going through situations where they need chizuk. And your kaili says right there, you'll become a lamancha elokim chayim person. You become an ambassador for Klai Yisrael in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. He said, I'm not just asking for myself. Yeah, you're an ambassador. I'm going to tell you something. Ambassadors have more clout, right? When an ambassador comes to a government and he makes a request and says, by the way, I also need a favor. They respond differently. He says, because you're an ambassador, you're representing a whole community, a whole country. He says, you get different results for yourself also. The Rebbeinu Shalom should bench us all. He says, with simchas and with gezunt and panasa, and most importantly, we should use our time for growth and ruchnias and be a nachas ruach for the Rebbeinu Shalom. With that, we can hopefully all be zaycha to aksivach simetayva and the gula shalema b'meir of yamein.
Special thanks to Rabbi Levy for...